Thank you. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Well, happy Mother's Day to each and every one of the moms who are here today, and thank you for all the rest of you for being here in our time of worship today. And what an incredible time of worship it has been this morning. I want to say just a real quick word. I can't talk about everything that we have done this morning so far, as you well know. But we began our service this morning with the baptism, and I know you watched it. And Mr. Ron, I had not known him until last Sunday. And last Sunday morning, I walked by our fellowship hall where we were having our membership class. And I stuck my head in the door, which I don't usually do, but I did for some reason last Sunday. And Mr. Ron was there, and he called me. He said, "Come here." And so I went over there to him, spoke to him for a moment. He said, "I've been watching you online." And he also told me, he said, "I was born in Midwest City, Oklahoma," and that rung a bell with me, of course, because of my roots. So we talked for a little bit, and Ron said to me that, he said, "You know what?" He said, "The church that I used to go to has folded their doors, and it no longer exists. And when it comes time for me to come to the end of my life, I want to have a church home, and I want Westside to be my church home." And as you saw this morning, it was not an easy thing for him to get in that baptistry. But I appreciate so much a man who said, "I want to do that. I want to follow the Lord in baptism." Which also reminded me that just a few weeks ago, we had another lady who it was very difficult as well. When I walk down the hallway that leads up to the baptistry and I see a walker parked at the bottom of the stairs, and I know that that was a journey. And I just appreciate people who have given their heart to the Lord and who want to follow Him in believer's baptism. And may that ought to be an encouragement to you today. Perhaps some of you who would say, "You know, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized." And I just want to say to you, if these dear folks can make that journey and follow the Lord in baptism, you can too. And I want to encourage you, if you've not done that, to please do that. Well, I want to ask you to open your Bible to the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John. I'm going to depart for a little bit, just for this day, from my preaching through 2 Timothy. And I did want to preach a message to the moms today, but it's not just the moms, but yet it is a Mother's Day sermon. And I want to read a passage of scripture from the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John. And before I read that, let me just say this to you. When you read the 19th chapter of John, it is one of the most cruel chapters that you'll find anywhere in the Bible. If you have your Bible open there in chapter 19, verse 1, the Bible says, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him." The word scourge means that they flogged him, that he was whipped. And then the first part of verse 2 says, "And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head." Platted means they took a vine and they wove it together to make a kind of a makeshift crown and placed it upon Jesus' head. And the latter part of verse 2 says, "And they put on him a purple robe." Purple was the color of royalty, and what you find in John chapter 19 is a mocking coronation. They were mocking the fact that Jesus was claimed to be the King of the Jews. Verse 3 says, and they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And it also says, "And they smote him with their hands." It means they slapped him with their slapped him on the face. Matthew adds in chapter 27, "They spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head." And then whenever you come to the end of that 19th chapter, verse 30 says, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished,' and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." And so what it's saying to us is there on Mount Calvary that day that Jesus voluntarily gave his life for people like you and people like me. It's a very cruel chapter depicting the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which makes it even more astounding to me that in the midst of him giving his life, that Jesus took time to say a word to his mother. And I want to read a few simple verses of scripture. Would you stand with me, please? I want to read verse 25, 26, and 27. I say all that earlier to put it in its proper context because I want you to understand what is happening in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John. And when you come down to verse 25, in the midst of all that gruesome sight of the crucifixion, verse 25 says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And he saith to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home." I want to share a few quick thoughts with you today that I simply call Take Care of Mom. Would you pray with me, please? Father, today, thank you so much for this time of worship that we've had. Lord, it's been wonderful to see those who have placed their faith in you, follow you in believers' baptism. Father, it's been a joy to see these young families and these children that you've given to them and to pray with them and celebrate with them. Father, it's been our thrill today to lift our voices in song and praise to you. And we ask now, Lord, that as we come for these moments, to open up this blessed book, to allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us today. And God, I pray that even now, that in our heart of hearts, that we are saying, God, whatever you want me to do today, I'm willing to do it. And we pray that that will happen all across this room, for I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Whenever you read the 19th chapter of John, as I said, you see a picture of the crucifixion of Jesus. But when you come to verse 25, my translation begins with the little word now. It's an interruption word. That is what has been taking place in these prior 25 verses. Now there's going to be an interruption. It lets us know that we're going to read something different now. They're going to see a different scene than the cruel soldiers crucifying Jesus. Now we're going to see the compassionate Savior taking care of his mother. And so we come to the place that one of the last things that Jesus does before he gives up his life is that he says, "I want to take care of my mother." So I'm going to say three quick things to you this morning about this particular passage of scripture. I want you to first of all look with me about Mary. It's all about Mary here, but where Mary stood, look at verse 25. And verse 25 says to us that Mary stood by the cross of Jesus. The cross. It was a tool of execution. I think the most evil device for execution that has ever been devised by man is this cross. It is two intersecting wooden beams that I'm sure that you're quite familiar with, that she's standing there at his cross. The cross is located on top of a hill that is called sometimes in your Bible Calvary, but most of the time it's called Golgotha or Golgotha. Is a word that means a skull, the place of the skull. Most Bible scholars believe it's because if you stood at a distance and looked at it, it had the form or the shape of a human skull. And so it was called Golgotha, there where Jesus died. The Bible says that she stood by the cross of Jesus. That is, it is a cross that was belonging to Jesus. There were others who were crucified on that day, but she stood by the cross of Jesus. He was easy to identify because the Bible said Pilate had put a sign on that cross that was above his head that said, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And so there she stood by the cross where his hands had been nailed to the cross and his feet had been nailed to the cross. And so there at the foot of the cross stood Mary, the mother of Jesus. When you think about Mary being the mother, she's called mother several times. I went through the scripture and just noted the times where she's given that lofty title, mother. As a matter of fact, she was called mother before he was ever born. Matthew chapter 1 verse 18, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." So before he was ever born, she was given that lofty title of mother. She was also called mother whenever the wise men came from the east and to worship him. In Matthew chapter 2 verse 11, the Bible says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him." I'm just looking for that word mother. There it is. "And they worshiped him." She was called his mother whenever he performed the first miracle there in Cana of Galilee. For John chapter 2 verse 1 says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there." She was called mother whenever he taught the people. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 46, it says, "While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without." And so whenever you come to the cross, did you notice in verse 25 of John chapter 19, in verse 26, both times that there she's called mother. There, I want you to see at the foot of the cross stood Mary, the mother of Jesus. As a matter of fact, you may recall that she had been told that this day would come that she would be pierced. Man, remember that whenever there was one by the name of Simeon, whenever Jesus was just a babe, in Luke chapter 2 verse 35, that Simeon said, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also." There will be a day, he said, whenever it will feel like a sword is piercing through your heart. I think this must have been that day as she stood at the cross and saw her son nailed to the Roman cross. She saw the head that at one time was so young and so tender, and she handled it so gently as we do of a small child. And yet now she sees that same head has been crowned with thorns. She saw those same little hands and little feet, and I know how mothers do. They look at them, they hold them, they kiss them, and she saw those same hands and those same feet, and they have now been nailed to the cross of Calvary. And so there, whenever Jesus died on the cross, John says, there stood at the foot of the cross his mother. I want to say a word to every mother in the room right now, and it also applies to every other person in the room, and that is, you need to come to the cross. The cross is a good place to be for every mom, and for that matter, every dad and every child to come to the cross. And it's interesting to know that even Mary, the mother of Jesus, came to the cross. Because I want you to know this today, that Jesus was not only her son, he was also her Savior dying on that cross. Now, she was a virtuous woman. If that were not so, then she would not have been chosen to be the mother of our Lord. But yet she, although she was a virtuous woman, she was nonetheless a sinner in need of a Savior and in need of forgiveness. And so that's why whenever you read John chapter 19, there standing at the foot of the cross was Mary, his mother, because she needed to come to the cross as well. The old songwriter said, "Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty." Where? At Calvary, at the cross where Jesus bled and die. Oh, listen, moms, it's a good thing to come to the cross, because that's where Jesus died in order to purchase your salvation. I thought this being Mother's Day would be a good day for me to tell you the testimony of my mother. I know she's watching online today. Unless there's internet problems, she's watching online today. Hi, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. I love you. Mom said that whenever she was just a girl, that her family didn't go to church all the time, but she wanted to go. And whenever she got old enough to drive, my grandparents would allow her to drive herself to church. And so she would drive to the First Baptist Church of Burns Flat, Oklahoma. And she would go to church in a service like this, people like this, sing songs like we've sung, hear sermons like I'm preaching, and she would listen to the preaching of the Word of God. Mama's story said that one time she went to a revival, and there was an evangelist there, and the evangelist was talking about things that Mom hadn't heard talked about a whole lot. He was talking about sin, and he was talking about hell. And she said, quite honestly, whenever I began to hear that, those sermons scared me. Mom was just a girl. And she said one night in the revival, at the end of the revival, said that evangelist came and talked to her and spoke to her about giving her heart to Christ and asking her if she would pray to receive Christ with him at that point. And Mom would not do it. She was still scared about all of that. And although Mom did not give her heart to Jesus at that time, God used, I think, that sermon to stir in her heart the need of her to be saved and the guilt of her sin. Because Mom said after that, she said, whenever I would go to church, she said, I would enjoy the service until we came to the invitation. You know what I'm talking about? At the end of the sermon, whenever the pastor would invite people to come and give their heart to Christ, Mama said, I enjoyed all of it, but I didn't like the invitation. Said, I know now that was the Holy Spirit of God speaking to my heart, but I was uncomfortable during the invitation. Matter of fact, there may be somebody in the room today that you say, I enjoy every bit of the service except that invitation. And it may be because the Holy Spirit of God speaking to your heart. So Mama said one Sunday she went to church and she sat in the pew and she listened to the preaching, and when the invitation was given and her heart was being stirred, a lady by the name of Daisy Prickett, and I remember Daisy, a lady by the name of Daisy Prickett went back to where my mom was and said, Vanita, would you like to be saved today? Because if you would, I'll go with you. And Mom and Daisy walked down that aisle, and there at the First Baptist Church in Burns Flat, she came to the cross of Jesus and gave her heart to Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, friend, every mother needs to come to the cross. And I'm so glad that not only was Mary standing at the foot of the cross, but there was a day whenever my mother came to give her heart to Jesus Christ. And I will say to you today, I mean, even a mom, you're not going to have the happy Mother's Day that you really want to have unless you've come to the cross of Calvary and given your heart to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, dads here, children here, you're not going to have the day that you ought to have until there comes that day that you come to the cross and give Jesus your heart. I want you to see not only where Mary stood, but I also want you to see who Jesus saw. Look at the first part there, verse 26. And you'll notice that the Bible says that Jesus saw his mother at the cross. But listen to me, that's not the only people that he saw. If you have your Bible still open there, you'll notice that the scripture says that there were four women who were at the cross. And John names those four women. Number one, we've already talked about, was Mary, the mother of Jesus. And number two, it says Mary's sister. Mary's sister, although she's not named here, we know from elsewhere in the scripture her name was Salome. And we also know elsewhere from scripture that she had a husband by the name of Zebedee. And we also know that Salome and Zebedee had two boys, named James and John. This may be ringing a bell with some of you in the room today, who they were fishermen, who Jesus later calls to go with him to fish for men. And so Mary's sister was there. The Bible also says there was another Mary that was there. And this Mary we do not know a whole lot about. She's the one that Scripture doesn't give us a clear understanding, but she is the wife of Cleophas. And many believe that she was one of the two that you remember perhaps in the, I believe the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, when after the resurrection, when Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus and there were two who walked alongside, that she may have been that particular lady who walked along the road. And then there's a fourth lady there, her name also is Mary. Mary was a very popular name back then, I guess, right? Still a very popular name today. Mary Magdalene. Now, we do know a little bit about Mary Magdalene. We know that she's called Magdalene because she was from the small town there on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee called Magdala. So she's called Mary Magdalene. We also know that whenever she first met Jesus, she was possessed by seven evil spirits. And Jesus then ran those evil spirits off, and Mary Magdalene fell in love with Jesus. And so she's there at the foot of the cross as well. I like to point that out to you today because I wanted to say, whenever we talk about who Jesus saw, I want you to know that whenever Jesus looks, Jesus sees the multitudes, right? Jesus sees the large crowd. As a matter of fact, there are places in the Bible that says that whenever he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because of a large number of people. But we also know that Jesus, in the midst of the multitude, Jesus also sees individuals. I want you to know that today, that Jesus shows up here at worship at Westside Baptist Church and he sees the multitude, he sees the crowd, but I want you to know he also sees you individually and personally. I checked my Bible to see some places in the Bible where Jesus saw people, and I jotted them down for you in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. The Bible says he saw Matthew sitting at the tax collector's table, and he said to Matthew, "Follow me." In Luke chapter 7, verse 13, the Bible says he saw the widow of Nain, who had also lost her son. So here's a lady who had lost her husband, lost her son, and Jesus said, "Weep not," and raised her son back to life. Luke chapter 13, verse 12, the Bible says he saw a woman who had been stooped over for 18 years, and the Bible says Jesus spoke to her and said, "Woman, be loosed of your infirmity," and the Bible says she stood up straight after being stooped for 18 years. Luke chapter 17, verse 14 says that he saw 10 lepers, and he said to them, "Go show yourself unto the priests," and while they were going, they were cleansed of their leprosy. John chapter 5, verse 6, it says he saw a lame man lying by the pool of Bethesda. And he said, "Rise up, rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately he was made whole. John 11, 33, the Bible says he saw another Mary. This was Mary and Martha, you may recall. They were weeping because their brother Lazarus had died. And Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he came out of the tomb, still wrapped in his grave clothes, if you will. And so there, whenever Jesus saw people, Jesus ministered to people, Jesus made action happen. And so now whenever you come to the cross and you see there are four women at the foot of the cross, and the Bible says Jesus saw his mother. Not only the multitude, but he also saw his mother. Why did he see her? I think, one, because of her maternal love. This is the mother who had rocked him and the mother who had nursed him when he was a baby. This is the mother who had invested in his life by teaching him what we call the Bible stories and told him the Old Testament stories. I think he was there because of her. He saw her because of her maternal love. I think he also saw her because of her broken heart. Listen. She's at the foot of the cross. She's watching her son die. Her heart must have been broken. Maybe he saw her specifically because of her loneliness, because there's no mention of Joseph, her husband, here. Many Bible scholars believe that by this time Joseph had probably died. Jesus also has some half-brothers and sisters, but none of them are there because at this point, they're not yet even believers in Jesus as being the Messiah. So he sees her all alone, and so the Bible says he saw her and he loved her. And my point today is simply to say this to you, that whenever Jesus sees the masses like he sees here today, and he sees the multitude, he also sees you. Individually, he sees you. And you may be a mother like Mary, the mother of Jesus today. You may be brokenhearted today. Your heart may be heavy today. Oh, it's Mother's Day and everybody is wishing you a happy Mother's Day. But deep down in your heart, there are things that are going on in your life and your heart is heavy today. I want you to know Jesus sees you and understands you and loves you. You may be more like that Mary that we look at and we don't really know a whole lot about her. Oh, we know about some of them, but there's one Mary that we really don't know anything about. And you may be seated here today as a mother and you feel like, well, that's kind of where I am. Nobody really knows who I am. Nobody really cares about who I am. But I'm saying to you that Jesus knows who you are and Jesus sees you. You may be like Mary Magdalene was before she even met the Lord Jesus Christ. Your heart may be burdened because of sin. I'm just saying to you today, whoever you are, and you don't really even have to be a mother, but I'm going to tell you, whoever you are, Jesus sees you, and he knows you, and he loves you. So we see where Mary stood, and we see who Jesus saw. Let me talk about one last thing. We also see here what Jesus said, the latter part of verse 26 and 27. The Gospel of John here says to us that Jesus said two things. Now, you may recall that whenever Jesus went to the cross, he made seven final statements from the cross. I've preached on that before, and if you've not read that, you need to read the seven last sayings of Jesus, as they're sometimes called. But the Bible here says to us that here's a couple of statements that Jesus made from the cross. Look at them with me, the latter part of verse 26. First of all, he said, "Woman, behold thy son." Now those words were addressed to his mother. "Woman, behold thy son." As a matter of fact, this is the second time in the Gospel of John that Jesus calls his mother woman. It is a formal term. It's like saying ma'am. Jesus said, "Woman, behold thy son." Now every child, listen to me right now. I do not suggest that when you get home, you say, "Woman," no, you don't do that. Or you'll be showing up at my office with a problem, probably. And some people wonder, well, why was that? I mean, this is his mother. And I don't know that I know all the answer to that, but I think I know part of the answer to that. Is because although that Jesus Christ was dying and he was her son, but as he was dying as her Savior. And Mary needed a Savior. Secondly, then, and this is really what I want you to see today. In verse 27, secondly, he said, "Behold thy mother." Those words are addressed to John, the disciple, the author of the Gospel of John. John is the one who in his own book describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so there standing at the foot of the cross was Mary, the mother of Jesus, but also John, one of the disciples, and Jesus looked at John and said, "Behold thy mother." And if I could translate for you, what he was saying was, "John, take care of my mother. Take care of mom." Isn't that wonderful? I mean, one of the last things that Jesus did before he drew his last breath was he said, "I want my mother to be taken care of." And he said, "John, I'm appointing you. You take care of my mom, if you will." And by the way, I mean, if you are a believer in Christ, you need to pay close attention right here. The reason why John had the privilege of taking care of the mother of our Savior was because John was at the foot of the cross. None of the others were there. John was where he was in the useful zone. Sometimes people say, I want God to use me, but you're never in the useful zone. You've got to be in a place where God can use you if you want him to use you. And the other disciples, they were all hiding because of fear. His half-brothers and sisters, they're not there. But John was there. I want you to know that God uses faithful people. And so Jesus is saying, John, take care of my mother. And the text ends by saying, and from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. There's two different ideas about what happened after that hour. One tradition says that she stayed with John there in Jerusalem, and about 11 years later that Mary died. One tradition says that she went with John to Ephesus, and she lived to a ripe old age, and then she died. We don't really know, but I think we could safely say that John carried out the duty and the instructions of his Lord and took care of Mom. I think about all that, and I'm reminded that in the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment says in Exodus 20, verse 12, honor thy father and mother. The word honor is a word that means to esteem, to respect, to have a high regard for. It carries the idea of reverence. One translation says the word honor means value as precious. I think that's a good translation. Value as precious. What the late Warren Wiersbe said in his commentary, he said, this commandment sounds like an echo from a time warp. You don't hear much said about that today, about honoring your mother, value as precious your mother, esteeming your mother. The world that we live in today is more geared toward children and young people than it is toward those who are mothers or grandmothers. And so I think it's good for us to know one of the last things that Jesus did from the cross was, I think he honored his mother. I think he reverenced his mother. He valued his mother. That's why he said to John, take care of Mom. Now I'm done, and I'm going to give you three takeaways today. I don't do this a lot, but I'm going to give you three takeaways. If you would say to me today, Pastor, how can I honor my mother? As it says, mother and father. So how do you honor your father and mother? I'm going to give you three suggestions today, all right? Listen to these, and you might want to write these down. So if you got a piece of paper, get a pen, get a pencil, some lipstick, mascara, whatever you got, and I want you to write three things down. How do you honor your mother or your father? Three suggestions. Number one, you honor them by obeying them. I'm going to give you some Proverbs passage of scripture. Proverbs is written by the wisest man who ever lived, so we ought to pay attention to that. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father that begat thee, and forsake not the law of thy mother. One of the ways that you honor your father and your mother is by obeying them. Do what you're told, when you're told, with the right attitude. That's good for you to hear this morning. That's worth your coming to church this morning. Do what you're told, when you're told, with the right attitude. That's how you honor them, by obeying them. Number two, by living wisely. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1 says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. You want to see a mother with a heavy heart today? It's because of children who are not making wise decisions. By living wisely, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. And then one more. You honor them also by living righteously. Righteously. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 24 says, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice." The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. Some are not rejoicing today because children who are not living righteously. There are some parents who have struggles on Mother's Day and Father's Day because they have children, and their children may be adults and have their own children or grandchildren now, but they were raised right, but yet they've gone away from the way that mom and dad raised them. They're not in the house of God on Sunday mornings. They're not serving God. They're not living for God. As a matter of fact, some of them may have come, they're not even really saved. They went to church whenever they were living at home with mom and dad, but now that they're out on their own and raising their own families, they're out in the world, not living righteous. You want to honor your mother and your father? You do it by living a righteous life. Living a life that's pleasing to God. So how do you honor your father and mother? By obeying them, by living wisely, and by living righteously. And the good news is, if you say, "Pastor, I haven't been doing any of those things," then it can all change for you today. And you can decide today that I'm going to live righteously, I'm going to give my heart to Jesus Christ, I'm going to be faithful to my Lord. I'm going to serve my Lord. And there might be somebody here today who would say, "Well, you know what? My mom, she's already gone on to heaven." Listen, you can still honor her even if she's not here. Honor her by living the life that God wants you to live. You can change it all today by saying, "You know, I'm giving my heart to Christ." You can change it all today by saying, "You know what? I've heard about these Baptists. I saw one this morning, and I want to tell you, I need to do that. I know that." Make wise choices. Obey them. And whatever else it might be that God wants you to do, I would ask you to do it because the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart. And whatever He asks you to do, the best thing is to say yes to Him. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for a word of prayer? In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing our final song. I know it's Mother's Day and it's a busy day and people got places to go and things to do and all that, but I'm going to encourage you to stay with us today. This is that invitation time. This is the opportunity to respond to what God wants you to do. And I would encourage you today, no matter what anybody else does, you ought to circle yourself and just say, "You know what, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, whether anybody else does or not." Whatever that means for you, do it today. Father, today we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for the example that we have, even in our scripture, of Jesus taking care of His own mom. And God, I pray that You would speak to the hearts of every person in this room. And Lord, if there be someone here today who've never given their heart to Jesus Christ, I pray this would be their day to say, "I'm giving my life to Jesus." Father, if there be someone here today, they know You, but yet there are things in their lives that You've been asking them to do. They've been putting it off. God, I pray that today will be the end of the delay, that this will be the day of action, and they'll say, "I'm doing today what I know in my heart God wants me to do." So please speak. Please have Your way. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you join me in standing? While we stand, we're going to sing. Our pastors are down here at the altar. If there's something God wants you to do, some decision you need to make, I'm going to ask you to come. Take one of these pastors by the hand. Say, "This is what God wants me to do." Come do it today, right now, while we sing. Just a